Welcome to Office Hours. I'm David Meltzer, and our first guest is a repeat offender. He's a Hall of Famer, like some other people here on the desk. He's an amazing athlete. He's the VP of Athlete Development for the UFC today, a legend of the UFC, but more importantly, he's a dear friend. Forrest Griffin, welcome to Office Hours.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, guys. It's awesome.
Okay, I got to ask you.
You don't?
I'm sure these guys are going the other way, but I've gotten to know you, and I know we talk about your sense of humor, and a lot of people may or may not know that you have one of the greatest sense of humors. You're one of the quickest thinkers that I know. You should be a host on tremendous amount of shows and forget the athlete development side of things. Have you always utilized humor in good times and bad times? Is humor a mechanism for you? Is it just innately in your genetics to be so funny?
So that's a super interesting question. No, I didn't decide I was funny till like my senior year of high school. So I had no sense of humor at all. And then I was like, oh, wait, this is how humor works. And I kind of just understand it. So I use it. It's just like a tool. Like if I'm like, I can be funny if I want, but it's not like naturally me.
Wow.
It seems to be naturally. This isn't me at all. I'm an amazing actor. It's really what's happening.
You're an athlete first, then a comedian. Maria.
So yeah, I saw that you had a book out, God Fight, about the 50 Zen principles in hand-to-hand combat. So tell me like the one Zen principle that every entrepreneur can really use.
I gotcha. My mom's best lesson, she said, fake it till you feel it. Now, what the hell does that mean, right?
Okay.
So fake it till you make it, I don't even know what that means, but fake it till you feel it. If you know you're in a bad situation and you just start smiling, your ability to tolerate pain goes up. You just smile. And if you act like you're happy long enough, holy crap, you're happy. That's just, I mean, my mom was a genius. The other thing she said was, if you have to ask her, it's probably a no, but we'll leave that one off the table.
I love that.
Thank you.
What do you got, brother?
Forrest, I think of the instantaneous mentality you have to have as a fighter, and some similarities to my career as an NFL kicker, right? Just
no, you and a half. I could never do your job.
I could never do your job.
I don't know. I think you could.
1.3 seconds and beyond right then, because there's the moment when you have to respond after being hit and clocked in a way you didn't expect.
It's insane.
How do you react when you have been nailed and somehow you're not unconscious, but you better come back with something or you're dead?
No, you want to win. You want to win every exchange. And for me, like, I'm not like a mean person necessarily, but when you hit me, I'm like, oh, really? I'm going to hit you back. It's just instinctive, right? So something I tell young fighters is sometimes the best thing you can do is get your mind out of the way of your body, because your body knows what to do. Your body does this 20 hours a week. You know how to kick the ball, right? And but seriously, you know, football is dangerous. It's a lot of things, but I would never want to be the kicker. You're either the greatest or the worst.
And nothing in between.
Yeah. There's nothing. Or it's like, it's 40 yards and then it's expected. And if you miss that one, it's like, oh, God.
David, if I can go with this for a second.
Yeah,
so at the end of my career, I got better kicking game winning field goals. And this is what I learned. The self-conscious mind gets in the way.
Yes.
Exactly what you said. So I had to have a mechanism. So for me, I'm approaching the ball. The ball's being snapped and moving back, and I have to plant and kick the ball. And I would say left foot, which meant my left foot was planted and pointing right at the target, and then explode was the word that freed my mind to stop trying to be too perfect, too accurate, and just release it. Not try to kill it, but attack it, because the brain's natural flow works 100,000 times faster than the conscious mind.
Man, I couldn't agree more. I call that Forrest Gumping it. What does that mean?
Forrest Griffin?
Forrest Gumping it, yeah.
Okay.
You're not thinking about the things that could happen, right? You're thinking about right foot plants. You kicked with your left foot?
Left foot plant and kick with my right foot.
So you're just thinking left foot plant. This is the angle. That's the kick. When I get lost in a fight or training, I literally start to Forrest Gump it. Jab low, move to the right. And I kind of walk myself through it like Forrest Gump did, you know? until you find that flow, and then it becomes autonomic. But
and you get the fear out of the way too. I made 24 in a row, 21 in a row the next year, 22 for 24.
Yeah.
And I never thought confidence. I could be at that level.
Yeah.
So that was getting my brain out of the way, just like what you just talked about.
Yeah, no, I like this guy.
Bucky, speaking of loving guys.
Oh, man, good to chat with you. Two things come up for me. Okay. So when I think about athlete development.
Kicking field goals. No, go ahead.
When I think about athlete development and the work that you're doing, and I kind of want to go deeper into this conversation in some ways, can you bring us into a training session and what it is that you're focused on? Obviously, there's tactics and there's skills and there's things like that. But how about the stuff that is applicable outside of the context of fighting or the UFC?
Yeah, you asked like a 20-minute question.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
bring it.
There's so much to it, though. Yeah. If you think about like, you know, here's what I tell people. Have a purpose for training. What are you trying to get out of your practice today? Showing up is no longer enough. You have to have intention, intent. You have to have an idea. What this is what I'm doing today. What's my purpose? How hard am I going? And you set these things before you ever step on the mat, before you ever walk to the gym. I'm getting faster today. This is specifically what I'm going to do. And then you have to understand you can't get better at everything in the same practice. This session is devoted to X, Y, or Z. So pick what you're going to do. Decide this is that practice. Devote it to getting better at that one thing. And then keep track of it. This is the thing I did wrong. I would write everything down, but I wouldn't really track it. So I wouldn't know that, well, I worked this twice in a row. I worked this, and then I didn't ever touch back on it. And now I've kind of forgotten it by the time I do it again. So unfortunately, you have to track. You know, you track what's important. You measure what's important. And, you know, go in with an intention of what you're trying to get out of something. And this is just good advice for life. Yep. What are you trying to get out of going? broke that.
You're off.
Yeah.
So, you have another one?
Yeah.
Go ahead. No, I have a question. I got to have, David, I've known you for a long time, but I got to have dinner with you in a very small area. And I realized something that I want to emulate from you. You're obviously a great storyteller, a great communicator, all that nonsense. We know that. But you're a great listener. And so we're at dinner and he's just really, you make me funnier. Because you're like intent, you're a very good audience. And I was watching people tell you their stories, and this is something I'm trying to steal from you, but I'll give you credit for it, is you make people a little better at telling their stories because you're engaged with them. You're joking with them. You're like, you're coaxing them on to be better. And I was like, I see what he's doing. Yes. And then I was like, oh, we're all getting better at storytelling. I feel funnier around him. I wonder why. He's encouraging.
Well, I love it. Well, that's where be more interested than interesting comes from.
Again, and that's the be interested. Yeah.
Yeah. The other thing that came up for me was, all the training, all the intention, all the focus, all that done, where's the transition from practice to performance? And what is it that you're coaching on, or what is it that you take into that personally in a way that allows you to show up differently than it does in the preparation?
Well, I think it's a complicated question, but where do you get confidence? Where do you get competition confidence from? Where do you get it? How many times did you practice the field goal before you actually stepped on the field? That's where confidence is derived from. Hard work, knowing I put the reps in. To do more would have been actually detrimental to my body. Like, I've done the work. Mm-hmm. Money's in the bank. People used to write checks. The check's going to cash. Kids today, I don't understand that metaphor, but I'm not writing checks that I can't cash. You know what I'm saying? And then I'm not going to quit on myself. I've been here before. I've been in hard situations. Again, I've been like games on the line. Bam. You know, and that's like a John Jones type. Like, I've been down in the fifth round.
Right.
I was going to be defeated. And guess what? I came out and won the fifth round. And when you have that, it's like Dana White, right? Like, he's just won so many times. Like, his confidence and his ability to kind of manifest where he's going and believe like he has that vision and to follow through on it. You know, ain't nobody betting against him anymore. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of where that confidence is derived from. But when you're starting, it's just a hard process.
I would add, too, it's not just the physical preparation. It's doing the visualization, not only seeing yourself in a game situation. For me, it would be 48 yards, right hash, 3 minutes left, down 29-28.
So,
Also the emotional thing. How am I going to feel in projecting that like an actor and rehearsing that so many times as much like a game as possible? The wind, everything.
Yeah.
So that when you come into the game, I'm just back at practice.
Man, I wish we had longer to dive into the emotional aspect of it, because that's...
How do you feel when you're going out there?
How are you going to feel? Like, how do you put yourself... Yeah, no.
For sure. It's thinking... Saying, doing, believing.
There's a lot of knowledge up here. Really, a lot of brains.
That feeling
up here.
That's the highest frequency.
So it's again that faking to feel it.
Yes. Yeah.
Faking
the
confidence in the beginning.
And then yes, that's where I'm coming from. And then identifying how you're going to feel when you succeed, and kind of giving yourself that feeling already, which seems pretty powerful.
And just to give you some insight, which is something that I know all of us deal with, understanding reflection. We don't see things outside of what we see inside ourselves, but we also don't feel them. And so I think it's really important in the genius of your mom, and I define genius as the expression of God. When your mom says, fake it till you feel it, she's expressing to you that feeling is the highest level of frequency. And if you feel it inside, you'll feel it in the future outside as well. It's a true reflection, as we are all reflections, and others are even mirroring that reflection at times, when what we see in other people is what we see in ourselves, what we like, what we don't like as well. And I can tell you, every time we get to be together, I learn something new, and it's beyond your humor. It's your energy, your frequency. It's one that has so much attraction. People just, you have a charisma that lights up a room, a studio, in the world.
This guy.
Dude, you love, man.
We love you. And I know these three see what I see, and they're looking for it. And next time we have you on, which I know you'll come back, but I do want to talk about the idea. One of the things with the NFL, we were talking about concussions, and you and I have worked hard with CTE and our friends who have suffered.
Right.
The difference between boxing, which, you know, with Lee, he represented the greatest boxers in the world, working with the UFC, is that the people that participated in boxing and UFC and other sports like that, motorcycle riding, people are like, well, why aren't they all over that for concussions? Well, because they didn't put forth that they were protected. They knew that this is a brutal, you know, boxing is brutal, and your brain's going to get messed up if you fight. Or if you ride motorcycles, you could break your back in 2 seconds. The difference in football was, when it started, nobody had a clue that these helmets weren't protecting them, anything about consistency and concussions and all of that. So I want to get into, because you quit your sport because of chronic injury, and it was apparent to you.
I didn't quit. My knee quit.
Your knee quit.
I would still do it.
Your knee was talking to you.
Yeah, but he was like, hey, guy, you're done.
There goes this kicking career. Anyway, we got to get going. Up next, we have another Hall of Famer in a different area of life, Forrest Griffin. Thanks for joining us on Office Hour. What?